ください。
Well, I have been told by good authority that the ukulele music is playing. I couldn't hear it on my new laptop, so I couldn't hear it. But
lucky
anyway,
you.
So hopefully you had a little intro as always, and welcome to the Malt Travel Podcast, episode 49, on a very damp end of July, nearly August, and it's been
moist.
It down again, very moist. So good evening, gentlemen. How are we all?
All right. Very well, yes.
I've got one, maybe £1.50 bottles of Jai Puree from Asda. Keep it going, so, Asda. Can't beat that.
I've got 99p bottle of Saigon from Lidl.
Hey. And I'm on my vocation from Tesco Express out on Hambleton Estate, back in the mother town. So, yes, all good. So, we're all drinking tonight. Amazing.
Very good.
So,
that tastes one of the best Jai Purees I've had in a while for a bottle.
There you go.
Yeah,
being excellent. Matured. Mm-hmm. Right, well, we are going to, hopefully tonight, we are going to finish off our what's become a bit of an epic crawl around the town or the towns to give the podcast their name. So we're now on to part five of taking you around the pubs, clubs and ex-pubs of Malton and Norton, obviously the town where the podcast gets its name and where we all kind of grew up. So what we said we'd do this final episode is just have a quick walk into Old Malton, which is kind of the village, which is kind of the original part of Malton, hence the name Old Malton. There's not a great deal of beer choice there, but a couple of good pubs. So we're going to do that as well. And Nicholas is showing us all his Beer Town glass for those that are on YouTube. And in fact, I've got my Beer Town t-shirt on as well. Although, unfortunately, we've heard recently that Beer Town is no longer. It's not going to exist anymore now. Bad Seed have dropped out of the equation. I think the Brass Castle guy said it's too much to do all in one go. So unfortunately, there will be no Beer Town this year around. So these t-shirts and glasses are probably even more collector's items. So that's the plan. And then we also said in the last episode that we'd also just pick out some of the village pubs as well. And I've kept it fairly kind of tight. So I think there's about four or five pubs that are within about 3 or 4 miles of Malton. Oh, Bruce is on the phone, so he's disappeared. So that is the plan this evening. And I say, if you want to go back episodes where we're now 46, 47. We looked at the past pubs of our youth, pubs that have unfortunately closed. We then did a crawl around Norton, again, a fairly short crawl. And then we did two lots of pub crawls around Malton, about 6 pints each time as well. And I say, so this is the last bit where we're going to start looking at Old Malton and the villages. So as always, a little bit of beer news kickoff. Again, I'm not going over top on this one. Just to make the point, we've mentioned this in a couple of podcasts before. Obviously, tomorrow, the 1st of August, 2023, this new beer tax comes in, which we've mentioned a couple of times. I think last time we were talking about how a lot of the big brewers have been dropping their ABVs so that they fall underneath it. And again, Twitter's been quite full of it this last days or so. Again, for those on YouTube, I'll read out, there's a little link there. Some guy working out that if you brew a beer that's 3.49%, you pay £9 duty. And whereas if you brew a beer that is 3.5%, you pay double that, £21 and a penny. On that. So, you know, as we mentioned before, that's why a lot of the breweries, and there's one from Hawk said there, who again, they'd made a decision that they're going to change their Windermere Pale. So it drops it below the 3.5% so that, again, they can keep their prices down. So,
conversely, Samuel Smith's Dark Man going from 2.8% to 3.49%. So he's gone the opposite direction. Some of these new ones will get stronger. People are saying it's really yummy now. It's a little bit stronger. It's benefit.
Mm. How on earth is 0.1% detectible? If some of the brewers are still using the old float hydrometers with a little line scale like a ruler on.
Yeah, but it won't be them. It won't be them. It'll be weights and measures that come in and do you.
Well, that's
they won't take their. You know, they'll use their equipment, won't they?
Well, I don't know. This is a problem. Last time the weights and measures came to us, he still had the old-fashioned hydrometer. Now, knowing a lot of government departments, they probably are still using old-fashioned equipment instead of what you'd expect them to use, the new stuff. So 0.1% crazy.
The ridiculous thing is that these near beers were good for people who were drink driving because you could simply have two pints of 2.8%. So a lot of village pubs are beginning to get used to this now, adapting them. And now with this, the waters are cloudy because apparently 3.4%, you will be over the limit.
Yeah, so. I think a pint of anything these days. So there were some quite good deals on with those people getting rid of their 8% dippers and things. And then the other unknown bit of this as well, which I think is still up in the air a little bit, is that it's where you actually pay your tax on the beer and how it's dispensed. So there's also another thing where that if you were selling beers off, so if you were going to a festival and you were setting up your bar, then again, you'd be hit by a second tax as well. So there were quite some concerns that festivals, etc., would either have to charge stupid amounts of money for beers. But although I did notice, and I don't want to go through all this, but this, again, for those of you on YouTube, I've picked it out there. It's about something called the repackaging. So if you are taking beer away, so in things like a growler, for example, again, you'd pay the tax twice. So, but I, as I understand, apparently it's been a little bit of an update today. I noticed in the beer press earlier on, so we keep an eye on that one. And again, just an example, Theakston's announced this week, they've brought in their Quencher Session Ale, which again, 3.4%, so it's under that 3.5% bracket. So again, might be interesting, because there might be, Bruce said, quite a few of these new ales that are coming out as well. Okay, so in terms of beery highlights, beery trips, we've got quite a bit of feedback on this time, because it's been a couple of weeks since we were last together on a podcast. So, Nicholas, you took advantage again of the Northern Rail offer of a £10 away day, and you took yourself a little solo trip to West Yorkshire and places.
Billy No Mates on a Sunday. The weather forecast was so-so, but I came up and devised a route. So, obviously, I had to travel from Moulton to York. I went on the bus, £2, and then got me Northern Rail Rover, which was a bit of a nightmare because I gave myself 20 minutes at York Station and it took me about 20 minutes to get the counter. When they get rid of all these ticket offices and have you just buying using machines, I don't know how we're going to go on with these vouchers and these DROs, but anyway. So, yeah, I got myself a ticket from York to Leeds. So I went out via Leeds, walked west from the station to the first place I picked out was Fox and Newt, that has supposed to have had quite a bit of history as a real ale pub. Got there just as it was opening, and this, remember, is Sunday lunchtime. So I was the first person in through the door. There's only one beer on the bar, which was Acorn Blazing Bales, Burning Bales it was called, because it was the test match was on at Headlenny. So that's maybe why it was quiet. But also the fact that it was 12 o'clock lunchtime. And as we found out in Manchester, people don't seem to go out morning, early afternoon. It tends to be more afternoon and then into the evening. So they only had one beer on, and I'll give the landlord his due, or the manager. He spent a hell of a lot of time pulling it through because it was quite lively. But yeah, it was a bit lonely sat in there on my own. So then I carried on walking up Kirkstall Road. Kirkstall Brewery. If you want to move the pickies on, Mike, for anybody. So Kirkstall Brewery, it's a big modernish building, but actually for a brewery tap, very nice inside compared to a lot of these that it's an industrial building outside and it's an industrial building inside.
That looks like a big building.
And they had you can't quite see it on the picture there for on YouTube, but nice seated area as well. That's fenced off, picnic benches, a couple of gazebos in there, so you can sit outside inside. I decided to sit inside, even though it was a nice day, because there was quite a few folks having pizzas. They do the wood-fired pizza, like a lot of places doing now. There's three or four blokes about our age with the same sort of waistlines as you two, who obviously come on the bicycle because they were clad head-to-toe in Lycra. I got there at about 12:30. They were just ticking into pints and pizzas. I left about 3/4 an hour later. They were still enjoying the pints. So whether that was their Sunday lunchtime, afternoon recreation, let's go for a bike ride, lads, and sit in the pub for 2 hours and eat carbohydrate and beer, I don't know. But yeah, so very quiet again, you know. But they had a good selection in there. And as I say, a nice brewery tap. So I'll certainly go back there again.
Oh, yeah.
And then I carried on down the road. My main point of destination was a place called the Cardigan Arms, which is also on Kirksall Road. And the Cardigan Arms, in fact, there was three Tetley's heritage pubs. They were architecturally the only three of the left that were designed by Thomas Wynne at the turn of the century. The Adelphi is his most impressive one. You know, these are designed as Victorian drinking palaces, but the Cardigan Arms and the Rising Sun are the other two that are still in existence. Now, unfortunately, I walked past the Rising Sun, and anybody on the YouTube can see in the middle photograph there, it is closed, and it has been closed for a while. There was talk about getting it reopened, but planning has now gone in to turn it into apartments or flats. Mm. So I didn't get to see inside it, but this is supposedly one of the three, you know, that similar to Adelphi. So it, once again, it seems a great shame. Anybody looking at YouTube again, looking at the right side of the screen there, didn't manage to get in there. That was something that I didn't know about. Dave's Pies and Ale. That once again, there was four or five people in there. I thought that'd be up your street, Bruce. Don't you've heard it before or not. But pies becomes before ale as far as Dave's concerned. And so then I carried on down Kirkstall Road and eventually got to the Cardigan Arms. Now, the Cardigan Arms is now, it's been run by Kirkstall. And yeah, impressive building on the outside. Inside, one of those multi-room places with a big drinking corridor. But I don't know, it didn't quite shine. You know, for one of these mahogany clad etched glass drinking palaces, it was just a bit tired, a bit sad. Maybe once again, because it was fairly quiet and I got myself sat in a back room. Interestingly, went in the toilets and they had one of those weighing machines. I haven't seen one of those in many, many years. And in fact, most of the brewery area was actually in the toilets. There was hammer nail signs and goodness knows what. So yeah, I only stopped four in there because I had to get myself up to Burley Park to get on the train, and then got to Burley Park, found a place in Horsforth called the Malt Brew House, who it seems do brew their own beer intermittently. So got there, and once again, see it on the screen there, typical Yorkshire stone building. This was probably the newest of interiors. You know, it wasn't one of what I call one of those traditional country pubs, but it was the busiest of the day, possibly because they had the cricket on, about three or four screens, and I think they had the tennis on as well. So anyway, it goes something towards saying, you know, should you have entertainment, should you have TV, should you have Sky Sport in a pub? Obviously, it cost the landlord a lot, but it seemed to be working for him. And once again, they didn't have any of their own beers on. They had Tetley's on, Taylor's, and then they had a couple on from the Oak Brewing Company. So I had a nice pint of blonde. And then back on the train again. This is the beauty of Northern Rail. Service on a Sunday is pretty good. And dropped off into Harrogate. And I thought, well, I'll go somewhere different in Harrogate this time. And read about this place called the Little Ale House. It's down, walking from the train station, you head down the hill, and then you go diagonally as though you're going to go to the conference centre.
Cheltenham Parade.
Is it Cheltenham Parade? Yeah. So you've got the Ginner restaurant diagonally across from you and the church as well. But first time I've been in here. Yeah, lovely little place. He has these barrels behind a glass screen so you can see what's on. And I think he had three or four real ales on in there. A little seated area outside, so I managed to get myself a table outside. And in there, we had the North Riding Brewing USA Saison and the Neptune Brewery English Pale Ale. I believe it's a husband and wife team who decided that they wanted to bring a real ale to Harrogate in a slightly different setting. And that's one place that I would certainly go back to, guys. Yeah, nice little place, and ticking over steady. Good selection of beers on. There we are. So there's the pump clips there. You can see he's got four on there. He's got Titus on there as well, Wharfdale. So all Yorkshire beers. And I do believe that was the landlord behind the bar. So I had a quick chat with him. And then back to the station. Didn't go in the tap because I thought I'll go to the tap on Knaresborough, and jumped off at Knaresborough. And it was just getting to evening. So it was very, very nice to sit out there once again. Sunday, that was the benefit, a lot quieter than it is on a Saturday when you tend to get gangs of folks around, you know, on the normal Saturday evening, Saturday night beer tours. So got myself sat on the platform with a lovely pint of Thornbridge Wild Swan. Sun was shining, watched a couple of trains go past, then jumped back on the train into York and then back home to Moulton. So whilst I did it for £10, I mean, the Northern Rail, I mean, they do those tour tickets anyway, don't they, Bruce? So I reckon for 20 quid, you could do that at any time. And obviously, you know, there are other pubs in Knaresborough, other pubs in Harrogate could have gone to. But for a sort of an afternoon now, I think I set off about, 11 o'clock from York, got back in about 8 o'clock at night for a 7 or 8 hour day out. You know, I think I did 7 beers in total. All the beers were on form. I didn't have a beer that I didn't like that day. They all averaged between about £3.90 and about £4.20, £4.30. Plenty of different Yorkshire beers on. And nice Sunday afternoon.
I mean, then all the rail tickets are amazing value because, like Nick says, for £10 you can travel all day. For example, we were going to go to Morecambe a few weeks ago and go around the Cumbrian coastline. You couldn't go for some reason. So we're going to go this Saturday. And I just thought, oh, those tickets have run out. So what would have paid £10 return for, return from York to Morecambe is £75.10. Needless to say, we're going to go somewhere else now. Wait, well, the tickets come back to £10. So they are an astonishing value, really, for £10. We'll have to get Michael to put on the Twitter next time they come available, because even if you don't live in the North of England, you can make a trip and you literally can travel the entire North in a day for £10, can't you, with the amazing value.
Very good. So,
yeah, I mean, on that day, you know, there was no delays. The train's on time. It was spot on. It really was.
So, Bruce and I, being a little bit more, you know, whatever the word is, social, we decided we'd have a little beer crawl together. So we had a little mini trip to the Northeast a couple of weekends ago, mainly to see Lindisfarne, a band that we've been going to see for over 40 years now. They're playing up in Stockton-on-Tees on their national tour. So we met Bruce. We drove up from the Potteries, me and my son. So we met Bruce in Northallerton. And again, certainly a new one for me. Have you been here? I don't think you've been here before, have you, Bruce?
No, I've not been there, no.
We stumbled into the Stumble Inn in Northallerton, which is a little bit of a hidden gem, slightly away from the main kind of thoroughfare, away from the more traditional pubs and just down the road from Wetherspoons. So this is a kind of little micro bar. It's a bit more than a micro bar, really, isn't it? I mean, I presume it was a shop of some description. Yeah. And we popped in there. We ended up drinking a Wild Child Mystic Meg in here. It was quite busy for a Saturday afternoon. And again, added that we got some nice watsits on the bar. I think the beer did die quite a lot, didn't it? And again, I know it was that kind of warmish spell we were having. Yeah. It poured really nicely, and then it did die a little bit, but it was evenly priced. Yeah. So again, definitely worth finding Stumble Inn if you are parking in North London in the big cab, just up there. Yeah, it was very pleasant, and they looked after us. And then we went to Stockton-on-Tees. So the plan was to get there kind of mid-afternoon, so we could have a little wander out, have a few beers, get something to eat, and then we were watching Lindisfarne in the Arts Centre, which is kind of very much in the centre of Stockton. Stockton, very old kind of market town that sits on the edge of Middlesbrough. But again, quite a big place, really. Quite a good shopping centre, big market going on there. So I did a little bit of pre-planning and found out that in the Sunning, which doesn't look that salubrious on the outside, they are one of these pubs up in the Northeast that do banked pints of Bass. It was Bass Week, I think, a couple of weeks ago. So they
nice
were
foul baskets.
Yeah. So obviously we mentioned this back in our, I think we talked about it in our Northeast trip thing, when the steelworks were in full speed and the shipyards. You'd have so many men coming out at the end when the hooter went. So what the pubs used to do was used to bank the pints. You used to half fill loads and loads of pints of bitter, like your Cameron Strongarm or your Bass, and then just top them up as the men came in, top them up. And what this did do, it tended to create a massive head as you kind of put beer on top of beer. So what happens in quite a few of the pubs around Middlesbrough is they bank pints and put them in the fridges. And then when they top them up, as you can see, anybody on YouTube, you get this really exaggerated head, almost like an ice cream kind of head on top of the bat. So that was the plan. So we wandered into this the Sunning, and I'd say there was me, Bruce, and my son, who is 17 and three quarters. So I asked him what he wanted. He said, "Oh, I think I'll have a Coke." And the lady said, "Has he got ID?" And we said, "Well, no, he's only having a Coke." Nope. Pub rules. We have 18 rolls in here. So, well, we're still having a Coke. Anyway, so with that, we said, you know what? Well, off we go then. We didn't want to leave him outside. Me and Bruce drank one of these foaming pints. So we went off, actually. And to be honest, we put the best thing, because we then found three cracking little micro pubs, which, again, had absolutely no issue with a 17-year-old being with us. And in fact, you know, in all three places, people were having a good chat. He was having a good chat with people, chatting to the staff, wasn't he? You know, So we had a cracking time, really. So I mean, the first place...
It's to die in town. It's pretty much on life support, isn't it?
It's fairly busy. I mean, all the micro pubs we were in were pretty much heaving.
Really, yeah.
So we began in the Copper Keg, which again is another, obviously, shop that's been converted. This was pretty tiny. I think we managed to get about the last free table in there as well. But again, had a really nice range of beers on. I ended up having some Michelob Brew Company Summer Vimes in there. It was quite dark inside, wasn't it, Bruce?
It was.
But again, great guy behind the bar, very chatty. Yeah, there was quite a few different people in there, young and old. A nice little mix, really. And this is just off the high street, so that was a great find. We then had a bit of a wander up and down, and this place was a little bit hard to find. And we did pass one very interesting establishment that used to be a real ale pub, but now just seem to be people smoking whatever they were smoking and drinking cans of Foster's with very loud music playing. You know, so we didn't really venture in there. We had to kind of poke down the nose on the door. Anyway, eventually we found this little arcade, and this little arcade has got one pub was simply called Hen Night, and that's what it was. It was just a Hen Night bar. That's all they do, full of tipsy middle-aged women. And then again, at the other end of this, there's another little bar that we're doing bottomless Prosecco brunch. So that was full of, again, squawking women. And tucked in the middle is the Tipsy Turtle, which is
fantastic.
Cracking little place. They've now actually, it looks like they've moved into two units. So we're assuming the one, again, if you're on YouTube, we're sat outside there. I'm guessing that was the first one. But then there's another unit next door that they've taken over as well. So there's quite a lot of seating. Plus, you can see outside in the little arcade. So we sat outside, and then we ended up actually in that window, didn't we, Bruce, when they moved? In fact, we stayed, had a couple of pints in here, because it was, again, cracking range, well-priced. So again, I had some Amarok Fury from Deep Valley Brewery in here. The Durham Brewery, they had a Durham Brewery Aviana on there. Again, really nice couple behind the bar. Again, pretty busy, people coming and going, very chatty. So a cracking little place.
£3 a pint, wasn't it? About £3.
Yeah,
a pint.
Yeah, really. And camera disc stamp. So a cracking little place.
What's that plant growing in the corner? You said about people smoking dodgy stuff. did you have a good look at that plant? It looks.
I think that was the best micro pub I've ever been in because it was
cracking place.
That's full of books. The barrels are there. The huge fridge is full of beer. It felt like what everything in a micro pub should
be. Yeah, it was really nice.
Did it have a unisex toilet behind the screen?
A unisex toilet, at the top end of the bar.
Most micro pubs have to have in it because they've got absolutely no toilet facilities because they were a shop unit.
And then again, a little bit of another kind of theme in Stockton that you have to kind of hunt these little places out. So we knew there's something called the Golden Smog. And we knew it was in Hambleton Yard, which we thought would be quite a big square, and actually it's not. Again, for those on YouTube, there's my son just squeezing through the little entrance. You go up a little alley, and then you come to the Golden Smog. Now, again, I've put the picture on here. That doesn't do it justice because it was absolutely heaving at about 3 o'clock on 4 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. Full of lots of rugby blokes were in there, and again, they're really nice. They all moved up, let us sit down. We sat on a kind of a communal table with a couple of other couples, and I think we all got in three-way conversation. You talked to the guys across from us. Someone was talking to Ruby to the couple next to us, and I was talking to people on the other side of us. Yeah. Again, cracking little bar, 4-6 hand pumps on.
Yeah.
Really worth going and seeing Stockton, and if you get a chance. And I said, they're all within
I like their old pub tables.
Yeah, within about, I don't know, 5 minutes walk, Bruce, weren't they? They're all kind of towards the bottom end of the high street. Were three cracking micros. And there were quite a few other kind of bars that we could have gone to well. So well worth a visit. But then I say I went up the weekend, we're going to Holly, so I went and picked my parents up from Malton and also was hopefully going to go and watch some cricket at Scarborough. But that's another story. It was a bit of a waste of a day, although I did get to sit next to Dickie Bird overlooking North Bay. So managed to get a couple of beers around Malton. Again, unfortunately, as previously discussed, it's a little bit of a less of a choice now, isn't it, these days, with a couple of pubs that have shut. I know there's plans maybe for the Cross Keys to reopen, Nick, maybe.
Yeah, expensive dining place, though.
So maybe not any beer. So we managed to get a couple of beers in Brass Castle. The visits, Nick had got through his stamp card quite well and got a couple of free pints. And then we popped in Chapter 2 and I actually had a chat with Rory, the landlord who was out there. And we went to the pizza on the square and had some Ossett beers and got our camera discount, which was quite quiet, wasn't we? I suppose it was a bit early on Saturday when we were in there, but it was, and also Meadow Fest was on as well. So again, that Whitesnake was really quite nice in chapter two. So again, we mentioned those pubs back in episodes 48, I think. No, 47, sorry, episodes. So let's get on to the final bit of the crawling. So we've done pubs of our youth in the past. We've done pub call around Norton, which didn't take very long. We then split Malton. I think we got around 13 pubs into two lots. So what I thought we'd do finally is we'll do all Malton with a little bit of a cheek and do one pub that's kind of on the border, and then just quickly just look at some of the village pubs. So I know the village pub, these two don't know what's coming up, so I hope we'll be able to surprise them as well. So as you leave Malton kind of westwards, so from Butcher's Corner, which is the crossroads in the middle of Malton, where the Globe is on one side and the high street going up to the Rose and Crown, as you walk westwards towards Eden Camp and Pickering and the Moors and Whitby...
North.
No, it's not north. No, it's not north.
North.
West. West. Slingsby's north. West. Slingsby's north. North.
Yeah.
You pass, first of all, a place called the Old Lodge, which we'll talk a little bit about. It's really a bit of a poncy hotel, but they do have a public bar in there, which I've been a few times. But we did pop in there quite a bit when we were younger.
We did.
Used to go in there, didn't we, occasionally? And then there are two pubs, again, within spit of each other, back in the village of Old Malton. The Royal Oak, which we've mentioned quite a few times on the podcast, and the Wentworth Arms. So we'll have a quick look at those. So I'm getting beyond myself. I've just circled them on here, the three pubs that we can visit. They're about, what's Wentworth, Nick, about 15-minute walk from Malton town centre?
Yeah, a good 15 minutes, the furthest out. But the nearest is the A64. So anybody come off the A64... which drop is a bypass that basically goes around New York now. If you come off there, it'll be the first one that you pass.
And also, if you really guess, but you probably get...
The coastliner bus stops there as well. The coastliner bus that goes up to Pickering, predominantly. Yeah. It's more frequent service to Pickering and Thorndale, but it's also the bus that goes up to Whitby.
A little bit, if you
bus,
got to
bus
York,
stop straight outside.
If you got to Malton stations, it'd be about a 15-minute walk. And if you're really desperate, you could probably call the rugby club halfway out of the cricket club in the season and get a pint in there as well. So those are our three pubs. So the Old Lodge, this is one of Malton's oldest buildings. This was the lodge house to the castle, or the new Malton castle, which stood behind it, and kind of on the bottom of Castlegate, which backs onto Orchard Fields where the Roman fort was as well. It's saying four star on there, Nick. I don't know. It's been a while since I've been in there. I know you have people staying there from camp.
It will be 3-4 starish. Yeah.
It never looks that big, does it? I mean, I think it's bigger inside than it looks on the outside, really.
It's not a huge hotel. I mean, they've only got maybe 25, 30 rooms.
Yeah, yeah.
They've got one dining room, one small bar snug, and then an overflow room.
So they do a public bar. It's quite a typically oldie-fashioned hotel-y bar, lots of dark wood.
It's nice in there.
Fireplace, yeah. And then they've always have at least one cask line on. It's normally a Theakston's, I remember rightly. It's normally a Theakston's or a Black Sheep. I think that they have on one of those two. I don't know if they're tied to anything. So if you want your drink, then that would be a good place to go. Although I think, Nick, your suggestion would be walk a little bit further up and definitely call into the Royal Oak Pub and Kitchen. As mentioned before, there were a number of Royal Oak. Well, there were three. There are two Royal Oaks. So one in the marketplace we talked about back in episode 47. But this is the one that Nick certainly would encourage you to go to. These always now have four beers on, Nick?
Yep, they always have four. He has one that he calls his house beer that was being made by Leeds Brewery, but I think someone else is doing it now. And then three ever-changing other ale ales, predominantly, once again, Yorkshire-based. Steve knows what he's doing. I mean, Steve's run pubs all over, well, not just all over the country, all over the world. He's certainly been involved with Camera. And you get some food there as well. So, yeah, from the lodge, probably another between 10 minute and quarter an hour walk. But it's a nice walk up through the old settlement, which was originally Malton, then became Old Malton. Proper footpaths all the way as well. Certainly on a nice day, it's a nice way to walk up there. Steve benefited during lockdown and COVID because they've got a sizable beer garden round the back. And this is where they host the beer festivals, and they have sort of little mini music festivals as well. And as I say, food-wise, Steve spent some time in South Africa, so he has a slight South African twist on his menu, two or three different things. So certainly recommend. Yeah, that one there is called the Gatsby for anybody who's looking at the YouTube. And we basically, it's a huge, great big bread roll, sub roll with steak, fried eggs, chips, salad, all in there. And if you're not used to it, you don't know it. I often go in there and see the tourists ordering it, and it comes out, and it was one of these, they're over-faced before they've even started eating it. So you've got to have a good appetite for that. But I say, he does a few other things. Once again, the staff in there are great. Predominantly younger staff, but they've all been there quite a good time, which means that obviously they know the locals, they know what they're doing. Obviously, they know Steve. Steve must be a good bloke to work for. The fact that, you know, some pubs you go in and different staff behind the bar every other month you go in there. But with having a consistent staff, they know how to look after people as well. So, yeah, certainly recommend the Old Morton Royal Oak and Kitchen.
So it's a little bit of a TARDIS's place. Yeah, it's a little bit of a TARDIS's place. It looks small from the outside. In fact, as it says on the info there, it was two cottages. But I thought this was quite nice. Yorkshire Post featured it a couple of months back, and it said, the Royal Oak Old Morton, grade two listed pub in Yorkshire, which is everything a pub should be. And I think probably that's right. It's good beer, good staff, great food. So Nick's mentioned the very large. There's a bit of theme coming in on Morton about having huge portions. And Nick mentioned again they do a really good little beer festival. Actually, it's amazing how well they use the space out the back there. Mm. So they get a marquee up there. They've got a lean-to where they put the bar in. Normally have some live music, and that was last summer, Nick, when we were there, wasn't it? I mean, again, there was 100 people
in that little space there. On the back. Yeah, yeah.
I think
me and Jackie went this year, and it was even busier. It was absolutely crowded.
Yeah.
Oh, at least, yeah. And so then nice. Ciders on in the bar, which is a bit weird. Good. They put the beers in the garden and all the bar in is taken over by cider. But once again, it's more of a community thing. As I said before, you see as many people drinking is the lager. I think he has, what does he have on up there? Piverny? Prava? Mm. No, it's Prava and Madry. Prava. Then ladies on the glasses of wine. So, yeah.
And so you come out of the pub, it's got a nice little green in front of it. And again, there's a nice little parking space across the way by the river. So you often get a few camper vans that park up there and come across. And then turn left, and about 2 minutes walk up the road, you come to a nice little kind of, again, another little kind of square, little green. And at the edge of that is the Wentworth Arms, or the Wentworth Grill, as it's sometimes referred to locally. This is always a place that did food. It was kind of one of the first pubs, I guess, in Morton that did food. More than anything else, and again, I think they've got rooms. But again, more recently, it's not a bad little real ale booze, and I mean, I think food still dominates their offer, isn't it? And they've got quite a nice beer garden. They've got some nice tables out the front there. But again, last few times we've been in, they normally have a good range of beers in. If you're on YouTube, if you ignore the kind of the front in front of you towards the back there, I think there they've got a Tetley's Bitter on. They've got a Copper Dragon on. And they've got something blonde there. I can't remember which
one
that is.
Looks like, is a Bosun's Pump Clip, maybe?
Could be. So they always have three beers on. Like I say, quite a nice little beer garden on the back there as well, in what the car park was. So again, definitely worth calling in. You know, have a pint. And again,
yeah, I mean, obviously, because we go to the Oak, which is nearer to walk in town. And, you know, if they've got four beers on in the Oak, I don't want to go anywhere else because there's enough on in there. Once again, other thing to mention, the Oak as well, they do the third. So they do the planks, so you can get a third of each, which is really good. Because if I'm thinking, well, I'll have a walk up there by the river, have a couple of beers, and then walk back home again, I'll have three thirds, decide which I like of the three that he's got on, and then have a pint of that one. So, yeah, they went with very popular with people passing by. They seem to attract more people sitting outside than inside.
Yeah.
There we are.
Yeah. So, yeah, talking about big portions, so they have a mega mix grill challenge at the Wentworth. And again, if anybody follows the beard, what's he called? Beard, whatever he's called, the bloke with a beard, the York slag with a beard who just can eat anything. I mean, I saw him fail one about 2 weeks ago, but normally he just eats, God knows how he does it. He's not that big a bloke, is he, really?
When it's by his standards, that's a small plate of food, isn't it?
So hungry dinners have one sitting time limit to finish an English pub classic with mixed grilled platter, rump steak, pork chops, gammon, fried eggs, black pudding, sausages, double bacon cheeseburger, roasted tomatoes, pineapple, peas, mushroom chips, onion rings. Finish it in one sitting and win a free dessert. What's the spot on the Wentworth Arms wall?
Free dessert? What, Sierra?
Dessert. And if you beat the current record, you win the meal for free as well. But if you don't, you just get free pudding. Once you've eaten all that. So yeah, hell of a quiz.
Well, he did it and had his pudding, didn't he?
Yeah. Oh yeah. He always has puddings. Yeah. So again, definitely worth a little walk up if it's a bit busy in Malton, a bit manic in Malton. You know, for example, when the food festival's on and you want to escape, it's definitely worth trotting up to Old Malton and visiting those pubs. Again, lovely summer evening. It'd be nice to sit outside both those pubs and all three of those pubs and have a nice drink and say you'll definitely get a good range of cask on. So in terms of the villages, what I thought I'd do is we'd start kind of just about, well, 5 to the hour. So we're going to visit the Smithy in Swinton. This is about 2 or 3 miles out of Malton. The Queen's Head in Motherby, another mile or so, 4 miles out of Malton, which again is a unique feature there. We'll talk about that in a minute. And then we carry on round. We drop over the A64, call into Scagglethorpe and the ham and cheese. There's a bit of a gap then, unfortunately. We can mention quickly North Grimston, although currently that pub is closed. But again, when it was open recently, again, they were doing York Brewery beers in there. We'll mention the Bay Horse in Burythorpe. We'll talk about the Blacksmith's Arms in Westow. And we'll finish up almost coming back round the clock again to the Stone Trough in Kirkham. So those are our village pubs. So the Smithy Brews is a pub me and you used to sometimes occasionally bike out to and have a Sunday lunch and some beers.
Right, absolutely.
The good old days, didn't we? And I think, Nick, it's recently been taken over by a newish couple who seem to be doing okay with it, and renamed it and refurbished it.
No, the people who renamed it, I don't think they've got it anymore. So it's come and gone a couple of times. There was a rumour that the brewing people in Helmsley were going to move in there, and that seemed to fall through as well. But I only knew it from we used to play in the pool league, in the Malton pool league, and they used to have a team, which was a bit of a pain in the ass because obviously to get out there, somebody had to drive, which meant you could have a beer, which sort of like, you know, defeated the whole point of having pool leagues going on when the landlords used to host it on Monday night to try and get people in the pub drinking. So that's the only time I used to know it really. Yeah, I've been in there for a meal a couple of times, but not since. It's sort of been refurbished and rebranded and gone from the Blacksmith's Arms to the Smithy, but it's still open, it keeps surviving, so they must be doing something all right.
Yeah, I think the cast mark. So I think, again, I couldn't find on their menu what their current beer menu is. I was looking at, they are an untapped. So it looks like they've got Landlord on, Rudgate Battle Axe has been on recently, Madry, Exceptional. So it looks like Landlord looks like it's on there permanently. Black Sheep Ale was on there, so that looks like their standard fare. Newsome Nightmare, it looks like they do a Black Sheep, a Landlord, and then a rotating bar looking on their on intact venues there. A little bit further up that road, when you get to Crossroads Turn Right, is a very impressive building, which was a pub for a long time, but in more recent years has become a Cantonese restaurant. But again, whether by choice, they still offer, Nick, normally 2 beers in here, normally, yeah. Cask beers?
Last few times I've been down to one, but it's always one of the Pennines, which,
yeah,
actually, I don't mind. You know, you can't say they're overtly distinctive, but it seems that Pennine keeps well. I suspect that it's one of the cheaper breweries in terms of buying barrels. But as I say, when you sat down and have a Chinese meal, if you want a pint of real ale, which is not the norm, then it's always fine. And I think they pull enough through because they do a lot of business on the other side of the bar, which is takeaways. They sort of encourage folks, if you're going in for a plexi takeaway,
and
oh, well.
It's still a bit, on that bit on the right-hand side, it's a little bit pub, isn't it? I mean, I don't think they encourage it, but there's no other pub in the village. So I think they don't mind people. And we've been a couple of times to drink. They don't mind people.
They get the old boys who work to BAT and that, because obviously the BAT offices and main depot next door.
They get
the boys from there going in after work, you know, whoever lives in the village. So, they've got a few regulars in there. Obviously, we never get to see them because we're in the restaurant bit. But it means that the beer is being pulled through. I've never had a bad pint in there, put it that way. Yeah. I've never had a beer that's been sat in the pumps too long. So,
and again, this is a place where...
get a pint of beer.
they always had Copper Dragon, didn't they, in there? It was always on really good form. Really nice, yeah, really nice. So again, there are two pubs again. You could walk between those pubs. Transport wise, probably more difficult because there is a bus that goes to Hemsley, but it's not as regular as the coastline of buses. So you'd have to kind of be careful about that. You can walk there from, certainly can walk to Swinton from Moulton. There's a footpath all the way. Again, probably take you a good 3/4 an hour, probably
40 minutes.
Or cycle ride again, probably 15 minutes from Moulton. So we're going to carry on round then on clockwise, and we're going to jump over the River Derwent and jump over the A64. And the very interestingly named Viking name Skagglethorpe, which is one of the villages as you leave Norn towards Scarborough. And again, this is a pub that's been there for many, many years. Again, it's a family that took it over. Again, probably had the biggest impact. Well, I don't know, it's probably a while now, 10 years or so. Again, it's got quite a good reputation for its food. But I did notice now they do quite a lot of outdoor stuff as well. They've got a kind of pop-up pub they take out. And again, I'll always normally have two or three decent beers on in this place. The clip there is showing Guzzler and the game, is that Wensleydale, Wharfdale gamekeeper? Yeah. No, that's probably Daleside, isn't that gamekeeper, looking at that one. So again, pub that gets quite a bit of traffic because it's just off the kind of main road to Scarborough. Slightly tucked away, if you kind of know where it is. Coastline of Buzz definitely does pull in here.
Wensleydale clip, that one.
Wensleydale, yeah.
That's great beer. You know, I had a pub in Leyburn a few weeks ago. It was one of the best pints of beer. Because the one named after Reservoir, what's the other one they do, the blonde? I don't particularly like that, but that gamekeeper was possibly contender for the best pint of had this year. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
They've got rooms at the Ham and Cheese as well, so if anyone's looking to stop out of Moulton, you know, strangely but unfortunately, there isn't a massive great choice of bed and breakfast in the Moulton area. So certainly the Ham and Cheese is a place where they've got rooms. You know, it does still attract regular people. Once again, hey, we're all friendly enough up here. You know, I'm sure so if you're going there, somebody will have a chat with you in the bar.
So then, coming around the clock to kind of what 20 past 4, there's a big gap now, which is surprising because Setrington, which is the next kind of village along, is quite a big village, biggest state village, probably biggest village around Moulton and Norton. But actually, there's no pubs in it, so
they're not going to include. You're not going to include Rillington then? The Coach and Horses sale again.
Too far out.
Half a million quid, somebody's after it.
Although we're going to mention, there are some pubs. So I've mentioned North Grimston, the pub there, which again, if you're on YouTube, top left-hand corner, which unfortunately is closed at the moment.
Lease is up for that, if anybody wants to take a pub on.
There was also a pub at Low Marishes, the Schoolhouse Inn, which again, we used to frequent a little bit, but again, that's been shut for quite a while. I think it's saying they're going to reopen again, but not sure what's happening in that one.
Convert to it to house.
The village kind of probably will is Birdsall. There's no pub in Birdsall. Then there's Langton. And there used to be a pub in Langton called the Horseshoes, which I can just about remember when I was quite young being open, but hasn't been open for many, many years. Going the other way, you could go to the Grapes in Slingsby, which apparently has got a good reputation now for beer and food. Again, that's a little bit further from Motherby.
Beer.
The Jolly Farmers in Leavening. It's a little bit of a trek to the Jolly Farmers. It feels like you're on the edge of the world when you go there. We once, a few years ago, Bruce, one night, and I think my missus was driving, and she didn't know where the hell you're taking me, because it is a bit windy wind, isn't it? You're right in the middle of the world there.
And then you always be recognised by camera, though.
The archetypal country front bar.
Yeah, absolutely. Really, yeah. And this is where, again, this time of year, they'd all the farmers would pitch up, wouldn't they? There'd be a load of tractors outside. They'd been harvesting for 18 hours. They'd come in and drink 10 pints and go back out again.
60,000-pound Range Rovers, you mean, Mike?
No, not in Leavening. And then there's the Crown and Cushing, which is in Welburn, which, again, we went in recently. They had York Brewery beer on. But, again, the food wasn't great. So those are some other options. But the one I've picked next on Little Two is a little bit of a gem, actually, and that's the Bay Horse in a place called Burythorpe. Okay. Bruce, I can't remember this being open when we were little tiddlers.
Well, I thought we remember being open, but it was always had a bit of a crap reputation.
Right.
Now, though, they've replicated other Goodman, and it's absolutely fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah. So this is an Italian couple, isn't it?
I think there's new staff, there's new management here in the Bruce.
No, the people from Goodmanham still have it.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was a brother-in-law or a member of the family that was running. That's why they had a slight Italian slant on the food. But
the owner guy, the landlord is Piccolini, whatever it's called. He runs it. I think what happened is he has gone back to Goodrum good. How do you say Goodenham? That's where the brewery's based at that pub there, and they actually have their own ales. But this is I guess this is a bit like a village pub. I mean the bar looks fairly new, and the bar is probably the newest bit because the rest of it is actually ancient and potentially decrepit. Because you go in there on winter's night, it's pitch dark. Normally got just the fires that are lighting the place up. There's stuff hanging from the roofs that, you know, all manner of farming and whatever. Again, it's got a reputation for doing food in here, but again, always have some decent beers on. Their beers, All Hallows beers, aren't bad, and then they normally have one or two of their guest beers on as well. So
it's really well priced too.
Yeah. A little bit of a drive out, and again, there's a little car park around the back. There's not much else in the village here, is there, Bruce? It's just basically this.
I know the village.
So it's amazing that it's a pub that continues, because, I mean, to be honest, there's not much either side of it, is there?
No.
You're going further south down that road, leaving is the next place you get to. Definitely, if you want to visit a kind of traditional Yorkshire village pub, this would be for you. And I say, if you're going on a winter's evening, you'll be welcomed by huge fires, normally blasting away, and some very decent beer. The next one along then is certainly a pub we've mentioned a couple of times in the past, is the Blacksmith Sam's in Westo. This has kind of done the opposite. It's gone from a kind of a fairly traditional villagey pub to kind of quite a high-tech kind of bistro pub now. Again, a family have run this now. I think Nick here, 90% of people will be here, will be eating, won't they? Again, they do have a little bar at the side. They do try and cater for the village kind of guys as well.
Always have a couple of hand pumps on.
Yeah, I don't know. Used to be pretty good. I don't know. More recently, I don't know whether it's just, I don't know. It's not quite as good as it used to be, because it always was a really good pint. But as we've said in the past, this is one of the first places that me and Bruce used to go and frequent when we were kind of 14, 15. And as Bruce was mentioned quite a few times, the landlady had this very strange philosophy that you couldn't drink beer, but you could drink cider as much as you wanted, despite you not being 18. Because in her eyes, he wasn't alcoholic. You could go and have half a woodpecker, no problem, when you were 14. So that's one reason why we used to work out there. And the window you can see in front of you, those on YouTube, that used to be the pool room. And again, that's where she tended to usher us all into. So that's where we were allowed to go in there and drink half pints of woodpecker cider. Yeah, very, very good. And so the final bit of our tour, and again, I've got to say, I haven't been here for a couple. I know, Nick, you've probably been here a bit more. I went a couple of times in lockdown. This is the Stone Trough Inn, which again has had a few ups and downs in its history, hasn't it? It was shut for a while and reopened, had quite a bit of a refurbishment about, 20 years ago now, when they built quite a big restaurant out in the back. Very picturesque place, Kirkham. You don't quite get the view. I think the hedge and stuff has grown a bit too much. But again, quite a nice beer garden. You can see outside. Gets very busy in the summer because people come and kind of go to the river and the Abbey, which is the ruined Abbey.
They've actually built an outdoor indoor room on that terrace, that patio on the front there. So it doesn't look like that anymore. I mean, that was, once again, it's a great space, another space they can utilise if the pub's busy. Mm. Still owned by younger businessmen who took on a pub or a couple of pubs in York, which made it more foodie orientated. And I think a lot of the clientele do come out of York, people looking for a quintessential country pub. So they don't have to work very, very hard. I mean, being in there a couple of times, the beer is okay, the food okay. But that's probably why I've only been in there twice in about the last 5 years. It's not a place I'm going to rush back to as such, but certainly a nice setting, nice building overall. Used to do discos in there. Did a couple of New Year's Eves one year. But once again, you need your own transport, really. I mean, even biking out to Kirkham is a fair old way to go.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So there are our little village pubs, Old Malton pubs. And Nicholas, I'm guessing you'd probably put the Royal Oak at the top of your list, would you?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah?
Aye.
Bruce, if you were given a free choice and a free bus pass?
The Bay Horse is, I think, you can see what he did at Goodman is begin to replicate there. Food's fantastic, especially his offer nights. You go on a Monday, I think you get a steak or steak pie and chips and a pint for, I think it's 12 quid. But it's the quality as well. It keeps his beer incredibly well. And I say, I think it's an absolute gem now is the Bay Horse at Bury.
Yeah.
I suppose it put me on the spot. The Jolly Farms is more authentic for a proper roof. Yeah, the front brow of the Jolly Farms. Yeah, front brow of the Jolly Farms.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'd probably go with the Bayard. It's always been quite good, and I've been there. It's always been quite a nice place to go, and certainly in the winter, and have a nice beer, a couple of beers. Just a bit of a trek back, that's all. So you probably need something to drive for you. Because yeah. You definitely wouldn't want to have a couple of pies and drive back. And even cycling there at night is a bit of a thing. In fact, I remember hitting a deer the way back from disco, doing a disco somewhere up there in a farmer's barn one year. Very good. So that was that. So that, I think we've done it. I think we've managed to get through Moulton in about, well, I think it's about, what, 5 hours, over five. Yes, beers have gone down as well. So very excitingly, our next podcast will be number 50. So we'll have reached the half century. I think we're probably having a bit of a break because certainly I'm going off to Kefalonia for a couple of weeks. And Bruce, I know you are off to the Belle Epique of France, yeah. South France shortly. So Nick will be working, so tough shit for him. So it may be towards the end of the next month that we'll do that. We have got our eyes on the York Beer Festival, which this year is being held in St. Lawrence's Church, which is the second weekend, I think, or third weekend in September. So we certainly will try and get something sorted there. These boys share a birthday on the same day at the end of August. And then I certainly have booked that weekend off. So potentially we might try and get some beers in York. Not been there for a while. I think last time we probably celebrated your birthdays. We were probably supping in lockdown in York.
We'll have to be on an evening because I'm working that weekend.
Always green. Right.
France that weekend as well, actually. Still in France. Yeah.
So we'll see. So yeah, and apart from that, we haven't got any plans yet. So again, we definitely need to get together and think about where we're doing next because we've kind of, We've done most of our little normal pub crawls. We've done most of the big cities. We've done our A to Zs of pub crawls. We've done Moulton in five episodes. So
we're on virgin territory now, aren't we?
Yes.
Yeah. We'll do pies off. Instead, Bruce.
Pies.
I saw the other day. They went on the bus from Peterborough to Norwich. The bus goes every 30 minutes and it stops at King's Lynn, Swaffham, Durham on the way, and I thought, Craig, that'd be a hell of a day.
No way.
King's Lynn's
right at top of Muddy Norfolk, Bruce.
No, it's a 3.5-hour bus ride, but you could do four stops on the way.
Yeah, your body wouldn't last that, Bruce. Your body wouldn't last that.
Norwich. I've never been to Norwich, and I'd love to go to Norwich. Yeah.
Aha!
I was reading something in one of the Sunday papers today, actually, that says that the top firm, I think, of the top four current podcasts, I think two or three of them are actually owned by Gary Lineker and his goal hanger company. So if Mr. Lindicke, if you're listening, we'll be very interested in taking on our podcast theme. And as Nick said, actually, it was interesting because we had our beer magazine from Camera this week. And as I put on Nick's tonight, he said, I think they've been listening to our podcast. Again, they've done a tour on Manchester.
Again.
Big in Manchester. There was a big thing about Beery podcast, although we didn't get a mention, which is a bit of a, it was like kind of mates podcasts that were mentioned. It just pissed me off a little bit about Camera. Yeah. They had a bit of an advert and I got in touch with them and they were really, it'd be wonderful. We're looking. And actually, when you look, it's the same people every bloody month that write the articles and same on the podcast. So anyway, rant over. And you know what? We've been through a whole hour there without mentioning the WS word at all. Or the SS yeah. word either. Tax. Yeah. But yeah. We've gone the whole episode. That's probably a first, actually.
I did put my head through the door. The Wetherspoons in Stockton, and it looked great. Looked really for a Wetherspoons, very traditional, really well kept, and great bat island bar with a glass above it. It looked really good to the bar, yeah.
Very good. So have a good holiday, those that are going on holiday. And for those of you out there in podcast listening land, have a great holidays. Again, as always, please, if you would leave us reviews or if you want to follow us on Twitter, then look for malt_ale and we'll keep you informed.
Not called Twitter anymore.
Doing. X.
Yeah, formerly known as Twitter, they've been like Twitter. Yeah. Also X, the platform formerly known as Twitter.
Yeah,
don't. Good. Don't get your finger stuck on the button. If you put XXX, and you get completely other things coming up.
Bateman's, yes, very nice beer.
Dirty ladies.
One spent 7 hours driving across there for Nicholas's birthday, actually, with Bradley, through Bateman's Brewery.
That was lovely,
interesting to see lots of rats running around. No, very good. Right, gents, have a good one, and we'll see you soon. Have a good holiday, Holly Bobs, and we'll catch up soon.
Bye.
Let me get the funky music playing, and we will press end the recording.
Music stopped. That's fine.
We stopped.
Yeah.